Welcome back to another Daily Walk. We are a day late. My apologies for that. All craziness happened and, had to get delayed. But anyway, today I want to talk a little bit about our loss and heaven's gain of John MacArthur going to be with the Lord. And it's an interesting thing because we look at it and we knew that he was on the way out. He knew he was on the way out. He had given several interviews, even one of them recently stating, "I know I am on my last lap. What can we do about that as we look at our going forward?" And what's cool is that there are still excellent examples like John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul about a decade ago, and James Montgomery Boyce a decade before that, who faithfully followed the Lord without compromise and without scandal. And that is the part that is so shocking, which is frightening. It shouldn't be shocking to have a Christian minister going through his life finishing well. But we see it all over the place. And I remember back as a young Christian, I think less than a decade in the faith. I was heavily working in children's ministries, moved across the country for a different job. And of course, church is so important. I was interviewing churches while I was interviewing for the job. And if I wasn't satisfied with a church, I probably wouldn't take the job. And so I met with a church and listened to their sermons online several times. And everything looked, wow, this looks pretty good. Feel pretty confident here. So I take the job, I move there, and I join the church in a matter of a couple of weeks, which is one of the reasons I teach people now. I'm not even really a firm believer in the modern view of church membership anyway, but if you are going to join a church, do not join one too fast. You really got to know what's going on in there. Because after only like 3 months, a few weird events happened, and it turned out that one of the pastors is actually a convicted child sex offender. That just wasn't even on my radar to even look for, because I couldn't imagine a church that would bring on a pastor. Now, it was even worse. It wasn't like, okay, this happened 30 years ago and he became a Christian and he went through, you know, all sorts of struggles and challenges. No, he was a youth pastor and he was engaged in the activity with a person in his youth group. Now, I think he was a Christian. His conviction got the better of himself. He turned himself in. He served his time. He is absolutely a Christian. And he has a role in men's ministry talking about what could ruin your career. He has a role talking about do not give in to temptation. He has a role in that. But Titus tells us one of the qualifications of an elder, which a pastor must be elder qualified, is above reproach. And you cannot be above reproach if you are a pastor engaging in such acts with children under your care. And as soon as I found out about that, I never even went back. I sent them a letter and I withdrew my membership and I said, you know, I work with children. I cannot attend a church with a pastor with this background. I don't care if he turned himself in. But this is a trend we see so much in modern evangelicalism. Pastors are just given these infinite tries. You get your Mark Driscoll was doing all sorts of weird, crazy, abusive, psychotic things. And then, you know, he goes off on his sorry apology tour, and then he disappears into the obscurity for a year or two, and then pops up somewhere else with another great new church. He's a discredited fool. Stop listening to him. I'm not saying he can't be saved, but he has discredited himself as a minister of the Lord. You need to stop. We get the same thing with James MacDonald, allegedly taking out hits against people in his church. I don't know if that's completely true or not. There was a little bit of evidence for it, but I'm not sure how much. But he was a gambling addict. He was actually a fairly abusive guy. He was just this this power-hungry fool. And so the church board's like, you got to get out of here. He goes on his sorry and apology tour and disappears for a while. And all these guys seem to show back up in Texas. I don't know. Texas, y'all need to kick the heretics out of there. Kick out Joel Osteen while you're at it. He's a big heretic down in Texas as well. And so he goes down there, and now he's doing small group curricula and stuff as the pastor for the small group curricula and all this. He's a discredited fool. Okay, stop listening to him. I'm not saying he can't be a Christian. I'm just saying he has given up his ability to preach as a gospel preacher. We have Steve Lawson, of course, engages in a longtime affair with a student of his while he's, of course, a married man. And that caused a lot of circles. We had the Ravi Zacharias. Of course, everything about him came out after his death. And so how do we handle the posthumous situations? Well, they changed the name of the ministry and allocated resources elsewhere. I guess that's about the best you could do there. But there were still people that knew about it that covered it all up, and we need to stop doing that. So when you get a guy like John MacArthur, who truly lived an uncompromised life, it is fascinating to see him get to the end of his life, and he has preached more sermons probably than any other living preacher, probably any other two living preachers combined. He has written so many different books on so many different subjects. Yes, he had his flaws, and while he would be my favorite contemporary preacher, I do have a few disagreements with points of theology, but that's okay. We should have a few disagreements with anybody we listen to from time to time if we are actually reading our Bibles and listening to the Holy Spirit and interpreting the Scripture as it's meant to be interpreted and seeking to understand it. But what's so refreshing is to see a man that does not have this horrible legacy of sin falling behind him, who didn't have to do an apology tour, and who really finished the race well. And what's neat is the very last thing I read by John MacArthur is this little booklet of his called Finishing Well. And I'm not sure if this is the last thing he produced. It is one of the last things I received from the ministry before he passed away. And I did get a chance to read it before going off to camp. And he does talk in here about a number of people who did appear to walk away from the faith. He's talking about Demas in here. Paul's final inspired epistle to the apostle mentions Demas in a different light. 2 Timothy 4:10 records the doleful words, "Demas, having loved the present age, has deserted me." Under the threat of persecution, the daily pressure of caring for the churches, Demas abandoned his calling. He was seduced by the pleasures of the present world. He ruined his own testimony. He did not finish well. Now, we don't know the further story on Demas. We also know Mark walked away at one point in time, abandoning Paul and Silas. But we also know that Mark is one of the few people that Paul looked for as good, solid fellowship and companionship. So we know that Mark, early on in his life, walked away a little bit, but then came back. But what's interesting here is he goes in and he looks at finishing well, and he looks at Paul, because one of the things we kind of forget as we're reading through Acts and seeing all these amazing stories is that there's a little bit of time, particularly in Rome, that the church started to wane out a little bit. And while Paul is sitting in a Roman prison awaiting his death, what ends up happening to him is that a lot of people start leaving him behind. And it gets down to the end that he's like, I forgot to look it up, but he does mention, you know, only a few people are with him. And he writes this letter to Timothy saying, "Come quickly before winter." He was so longing to see his good friend in the faith, the friend that he knew was faithful even still. And, but what we know is that Paul was a little lonely in the end of his life. A lot of the believers walked away. A lot of the believers did not finish well. A lot of them gave up on it. And so in this little booklet, he really goes into a lot of the things. He talks about the new covenant. He talks about ministry being about mercy. He talks of the need for a pure heart. This is so hard in our modern era because there's so much sin around us at every single turn, at every single place, at every single location. Sin is perpetually around us. And that is a fundamental problem, I think. So the need for a pure heart is quite important. And I think that that's where, if there's one thing we should focus on prioritizing, we should prioritize the purity of our heart, the sanctification of our soul. We should really purify ourselves to the point where we are disgusted to even turn on our television because of the gross stuff that is on it, that is masquerading as family content. And when I was doing the book, I Am Not Amused, I was watching a lot of these shows just to see some of the things going on. And there was the one show, I think it only got like one or two seasons. Hopefully it only got one. I can't remember. It was called The Mick. And I forget who the main actress was, but she's like, oh, I'm finally doing a show that's so family friendly, I can bring my kids on. It was such a vile show. One of the episodes, they had a six-year-old wearing a ball gag. Okay, that is an S word implementation. And so the whole show was completely disgusting. It was completely vile. And here is the main actress going, this is such a family-friendly show. If this is family-friendly, I got a bridge to sell you because we're in the desert, okay? I mean, it's definitely an interesting thing how much the Overton window has shifted in our culture. He talks about the commitment to accuracy in handling the Word of God. And this is another very important thing that we can't just throw our own interpretations. We really have to look at it, but we have to balance though, that sometimes denominations get it wrong. So if you're so dedicated to your denomination, then you will possibly misinterpret scripture based on what the denomination wants rather than what the scripture wants. This is actually in one of the first sermons I've ever listened to by John MacArthur. Way back over 20 years ago, I'm in graduate school. I was, you know, just kind of going through doing all my work, listening to some John MacArthur sermons while I was getting my work done. And he did it was a two-part series out of Matthew 7. It's called Examine Yourself. And is still to this day one of my favorite sermon series. It's just two sermon series, but he goes into there about what are people dedicated to? Are you more dedicated to your denomination than you are to the clear interpretation of the Word of God? And there was a time, if you asked me maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, John MacArthur gets everything right. I probably would have said that. Now, he doesn't tie himself to a specific denomination. He was a non-denominational preacher. He aligned himself, though, with the Puritans. And if you understand that, too, the Puritans did get a few things wrong from time to time. And there are, following John MacArthur so closely as I did, I would still say that he is a man who dedicated his life. He was a guy that was all about the scripture. It wasn't like R.C. Sproul was an excellent Bible scholar, but R.C. Sproul, if you listen to him, was clearly a philosopher who leaned on the scripture. And that can become a challenge. Actually, he was more of a Bible teacher who leaned on philosophy. I want to reverse that because Ravi Zacharias was a philosopher who leaned on the scripture. And that's actually why I never got much into Ravi Zacharias. I listened to him a lot. He had a nice, amazing, flowing voice and a wonderful accent. And it was awesome to listen to. Amazing academic sounding stuff, kind of stuff that kind of tickled my ears as an academic. But when I got down to it and listened to it, I stopped listening to him because his sermons were never about scripture or even centered on it. It was a lot more about human philosophy. R.C. Sproul does have a lot more about the scripture, but he is a philosopher. And so a lot of the academic philosophy comes out. With John MacArthur, it was pure scripture to scripture to scripture to scripture. And that is just the way he did it. And we have to have that dependency on the Word of God. And we have to always be analyzing the scripture and looking through it all and things like that. And then finally, he kind of talks in the end of this section, he talks about the certainty that results depends on God. You know, we plant we plant, other ministers water. It is God that actually causes the growth. That is the important phrase. And then the certainty of his own insignificance. We have to walk our ministry in humility. And so at the end, this is an excellent little booklet on Finishing Well by John MacArthur. very fitting last thing I'd read for him before his death. And I can say that the news of his death did sadden me, but we also had a lot of other things going on, so I didn't even have a chance to really stop and reflect on it during that day or during last week. But suffice it to say, he will be missed. And, you know, it's interesting because this week we have the death of John MacArthur and the death of Ozzy Osbourne. So here is somebody who points so much to light and then the Prince of Darkness. Yeah, maybe Judgment for America is already upon us. I don't know. But at the same time, I'm saddened by our loss. I'm rejoicing in heaven's gain. I know he was ready for it. And it's just so amazing that he's a preacher who ended his life well. So that's all I have to say. Thanks for watching. I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.